paramedic here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Welcome back in. Hour number 3 of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Elijah Campbell here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And it's that time of the week. We go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in our good friend Corey Curtis from News 2. Corey, what's going on? How you doing?
I am splendid. Just reveling in another Chicago Bears victory.
Yes.
Another huge step forward towards the playoffs, which are inevitable at this point.
Yes, absolutely. Corey, we've been asking the question all morning long. It's our poll question of the day at 102.5 The Game.
Are the Bears
on Twitter
the playoffs? Absolutely.
Yeah, that's exactly what we've been asking here on the show all day long. What was the more disrespectful stiff arm, in your opinion? Derrick Henry on Josh Norman, or what Derrick Henry did yesterday to Alex Myers?
You know, yesterday was amazing because of the way he just kind of like grabbed him and threw him by the head, which was incredible. But nobody's ever heard of Alex Myers. And we've all seen the Derrick Henry stiff arm before. So when you see him send him flying like a reindeer off a rooftop, it's almost to be expected. Josh Norman's a guy who's been a Pro Bowl player in this league. And all of a sudden, you know, you saw him go horizontal. And it was amazing. I'm going to go with the Josh Norman one still.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because I agree that the Josh Norman one is the better highlight. And as you said, it's a significant player. I think in pure like violence or disrespect, I think yesterday's was the nastiest one of Henry's tenure. It just didn't quite give the beautiful horizontal floating through the air and the memes that come with it, right?
But no, it was kind of like a Lord of the Rings movie with an ogre running loose and just thrashing hobbits.
Well done. So, Corey, we've been talking today, you know, and honestly, this is one of those things that, like, last night, you know, it's like every time you check the scores, you check the standings, and I'm looking at everything, I'm like, gosh, it's crazy. Like, they're 10-4. Yep. They've been in twice at 9 with a 16 field, and they are no lock. Like, when you look at the whole picture to get in, how do you feel about their position right at this moment?
Well, it's funny because, you know, the last couple of years it's come down to 9-7 in a play-in game. And here we could be looking at, you know, 11-5 and, you know, 11-5 being a play-in game. And that's tough, especially in an expanded year in the playoffs, but that's unfortunately the way it is. So, you know, they're going to have to do it. Now, are they guaranteed at 11-5 yet, Joe, or is there an out at 11-5?
I believe that 11-5, because I don't believe that the Dolphins, I think they've got the Dolphins, right? Is my understanding in the tiebreaker situation is they have the Dolphins.
I'm going to guess, you know, a loss to the Texans would be a lot worse than a loss to the Jaguars because it's in the conference.
Right. And of course, you know, if you look at it right now, the Dolphins are, you know, they're 6-4 in the conference. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they could end up 8-4 if the Titans, well, see, but then the Titans would be 2. So honestly, that's a good question. As of now, they have been ahead of the Dolphins and they could have clinched yesterday. So, but that's one of those, we may need to get Elias Sports Bureau involved in here. I mean, think about that. Think about the Titans going 11-5 and not getting in.
Yeah.
No, I mean, no, it would be absolutely brutal. And also it would be brutal for this offense to not be in the postseason and for you to sit there and bang your head over a loss in the Natty earlier in the season where you just played absolutely terrible. Like, I don't ever guarantee victories in the NFL. The Jets should show you why yesterday, because it happens in this league. It just does. But I would be very surprised if the Texans had anything to offer them in Week 17. I'm interested to see what happens next Sunday night, but I feel good about Week 17 for a Texans team, which, you know, found a way not to tie it up yesterday. But they'll be in their last week. And I just, defensively, I don't think they've got anything for this team. I think it's going to be a long day in Houston for that defense.
Corey Curtis from News 2 on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Corey, I mean, Ryan Tannehill yesterday, 21 of 27, 273, three touchdowns, adds two more touchdowns on the ground. He's playing at a level right now that I'm not sure that I've seen from a Titans quarterback. And, you know, obviously it's different with McNair and just the era of a ball that you're playing right now that you're seeing in the NFL. But I'm not sure that Ryan Tannehill isn't playing right now as good at the quarterback position as we've ever seen here in Nashville.
Well, you're right. It's a different era and it's a different player. But he was really, really good yesterday. And I thought one of the things that was important was, you know, a week ago in Jacksonville, I thought Mike Vrabel set the tone for his team with really aggressive play calling. I thought Ryan Tannehill set the tone for the team, you know, yesterday, because he came out and he was aggressive and he was extremely accurate. He threw the ball into some tight windows early, marching the team down the field. He was dialed in, and I felt like he had an edge to him playing to start that football game. And when you're playing bad teams, you know, Ryan talked about it after the game, coming out with a sense of urgency. I thought he had that sense of urgency, and it propelled his team forward. You know, he had some really, like I said, tight window throws that helped move this thing along. I still don't know how he missed Corey Davis for that wide open touchdown at the end of the game. But the big one was, you know, he had Corey 10 yards wide open on the 75-yarder, and that was a huge play. I mean, when your opponent punches you back and you can immediately counterpunch him and just land a block, a shot of just telling him, hey, look, you guys are going to have a really long day here. And I thought that's what that pass play told the Detroit Lions, is you're not going to stop this team. I don't know why the Lions ever punted yesterday. I thought it was a futile exercise, and Ryan Tannehill was a big reason for that. Yeah, Derrick Henry was sensational. There's no doubt about that. But Tannehill was really dialed in.
Lions fake punted too, and actually I thought they got it, but
I didn't even know why they were lined up for the punt there. I don't know how the Titans could have been caught by surprise at all on that.
So Darrington Evans, Adoree Jackson, on one hand, it's like, gee, like this offense needs any more help. On the other hand, my goodness, does this defense need more help? What did you think of them? What do you think of those two moving forward?
Well, you know, we talked about Darrington Evans, and I think he's like a 4-4 guy. I remember coming out of the draft, and we were excited what he could bring to them, especially in the passing game. And, you know, he missed so much time with hamstring injuries, he just kind of gave up on seeing it. And you're just like, okay, just moving on. And then you see that screen pass and the burst he showed down that right sideline, and you're like, wow, okay. And, yeah, I mean, there's a difference between Darrington Evans on the field on third down and Jeremy McNichol. And it's going to be interesting to see, because, like you said, another weapon to the mix. Now, I'm not going to go along with A.J. Brown, who said there's no drop-off from Derrick Henry to him, and I don't think that's what he meant, but that's the way it came out. But he adds a speed element, and look, Derrick Henry is a speed element, there's no doubt about it, but it's a different kind of speed element. This is a faster twitch, you know, quicker speed element to that receiving game, and it's going to be interesting to see how they can incorporate him, and it might be good for them to be able to get Derrick Henry off the field on a few more snaps. I know they've been trying to, regardless of whether they want to talk about it or not. But that was great to see. And, you know, I think Adoree, I saw the snap numbers, was in like 42-45% of the snaps, and I thought it was critical to get him out there before the Packer game, so it was good to see him out there. I thought he largely looked pretty good. And, you know, once again, they had zero pass rush, but it did look like their coverage was better in this game. I don't know if that's because of the Lions receivers or because, you know, they were better in coverage. I thought Byard played great in coverage yesterday. Really, I thought kind of took that Hockenson matchup personally. Malcolm Butler continued to play like Malcolm Butler. And if Adoree can be out there and help them lock down another guy, because Malcolm's been good all year, maybe that's the extra half second or the extra 8 seconds the pass rush needs to get there. We'll see.
Corey Curtis from News 2 on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Corey, obviously a big one coming up on Sunday night for the Titans, Sunday night football against the Packers. What do you think about that matchup heading into the game?
You know, it's exciting and terrifying all at the same time, you know, because you're like, how are they going to stop Green Bay at all? But Green Bay only managed 3 second-half points against Carolina the other night. I'm still trying to figure out how that happened. You know, the Packers barely got by the Jaguars a few weeks ago. So while this is a dynamic Green Bay team, they do fall into lulls at some time. I'm not sure why that is, but they do. You know, so that Malcolm Butler, I expect Malcolm Butler to follow Devontae Adams wherever he is on the field. That's what I would do. But we'll see how they handle that. That's going to be exciting to see. One of the big keys the last couple of weeks for the Titans defensively is they've done a pretty nice job against the run, and it's helped set them up for the rest of the time. And so, you know, what can they do against Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams, who have also combined for 72 catches, I think, this year?
Yep.
And so I think that, you know, without Jayon Brown, I think that's going to be a big challenge in this football game. And you're going to have to come out and score a lot and keep scoring. Because if they're down three, if something happens, you get out 28-7, which can happen with this team. It's not over, and it's not over by a long shot, because, you know, turnovers masked their defense largely yesterday. Now they created them, so they get the credit for them, but they're not a fixed product by any mean. But you know, look, this is as exciting of a Week 16 matchup as we've had in a long time. I think the league should be excited about it. I think if Derrick Henry has any shot to win the MVP, and nobody's talking about him right now, really. They're talking about the quarterbacks, as they usually do. But if he can go out and put up 200 and beat Aaron Rodgers, people will be talking about it. And so it'll be fun to see.
Corey Curtis from News 2 has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. Looking forward to the game on Sunday. Corey, thanks for dropping by. Great stuff as always.
I'm looking forward to it too, Robbie, but I'm looking more forward to the Week 17 matchup when the Bears play the Packers
yes.
for a spot in the postseason.
Yes. It's going to be a good one.
Mitch Believer now?
Are you kidding me? I'm ready to give him a 6-year deal worth $300 million.
I'm sure you are. We'll have to watch that game, Corey. It'd be nice. Packers and Bears, wrapping it up.
You know what? In all seriousness, and I know you guys have a show to move along with, I'm happy for Mitch Trubisky. He has played well, and their team, it's amazing in the NFL how unrecognizable teams can be for segments of the season.
Yeah.
Because this team could not move the football at all. And I think, you know, we talk about the Titans putting up 30 points 5 weeks in a row. This Bears offense that we watched here at Nissan Stadium has scored 30 points 3 games in a row.
Shocking, really.
That is amazing. I mean, I know the Lions are one of those teams, but still, that's amazing.
It doesn't matter. It does. Look, they didn't look like they could put 30 on the Brentwood Blaze when they were here, all right?
That's a great point. Corey Curtis from News 2 has been our guest. Corey, appreciate it, man. Hope you have a Merry Christmas.
All right, you too, guys. Appreciate the time.
When we come back, we'll dive back into the Titans' big win against the Lions. A great day for the offense. Is this as high a level as an offense has been clicking for the Titans in the history of their franchise? We'll discuss on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Titans fans, Corner Pub is the place to check out the game with locations in Bellevue, Brentwood, or downtown, and great beer specials, including $1 off of Yazoo and Happ & Harry's draft beers, plus Happ & Harry's bucket specials. Don't miss Nashville's best NFL pregame show live from the Corner Pub in Brentwood this Sunday. Join ESPN 102.5 The Game from 5 to 7 p.m. prior to the Titans taking on Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. The NFL pregame show features Jared Stillman and former Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders, and is brought to you by Wholesale Inc., powered by Rumble On, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Kubota Tractors, Middle Tennessee Kubota dealers. Remember, Corner Pub locations will be following social distancing and safety guidelines, so make sure you keep that in mind. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Elijah Campbell here with you on this Monday morning, reacting to a big 46-25 win for the Titans against the Lions. The first such 46-25 final score in the history of the NFL. And Joe, a day yesterday where the Titans did pretty much anything they wanted to do offensively. Like outside of the safety, that was pretty much the one mistake they had yesterday on defense. Tannehill finishes 27, I should say, on offense, by the way. 273 yards, three touchdowns through the air, another two touchdowns on the ground. Tannehill was sensational yesterday. That was one of the best games I've seen him play, and that's saying something because he's played a lot of good games here for the Titans so far.
Yeah, it kind of goes back to we've been talking about Derrick Henry. It's like one or the other. Sometimes it's both of them, you know, in the same week. And it, I mean, really, it was yesterday, but this sort of the needle went back toward Tannehill yesterday. Oh, my gosh, look at what this guy's doing. We've been saying that about Derrick Henry. We've been saying about both of them. It's pretty amazing, you know, the entirety of this offense. And again, 2,000-yard receiver is very likely here. By the way, to follow up on what we've been talking about with the playoff situation, you know, one thing that we didn't – so I'm reading Cam Wolf, who, of course, used to cover the Titans for ESPN. Now he covers the Dolphins. He said, for Dolphins, if they win, they are in. If they win their two games, they are in. Now, one thing we have to keep in mind here is if the Titans do get the one win – they have the head-to-head over the Ravens.
Right.
So that's one thing we were talking with Corey last segment, you know, that we kind of failed to take into account. So if the Titans get the one win, you know, and even if the Dolphins went out and the Ravens went out, the Titans definitely have the head-to-head, have the tiebreaker over the Ravens. So basically, I think we can say right now that – we were talking about them being 11-5, not getting in. If they're 11-5, they're getting in because that means the Ravens cannot surpass
right.
them. So we can establish that as a certainty. Even if the Dolphins were to have a tiebreaker over them or whatever, right now they have the tiebreaker of the Dolphins. If the Titans win one, we can say this now, you know, they absolutely are in because the Ravens can only max out at 11-5. So something to just – you know, with these scenarios, I don't know if the NFL is putting out another, you know, another big batch of scenarios this week or not. You know, I mean, they will at some point. I don't know if it's today or not, but that's an important point.
It is. And another important point is the Titans lately just been taking care of business against teams that they ought to take care of business against. I mean, they come out and dominate the Jaguars. And yesterday on offense, they just totally destroy the Lions. And we talked all last week, Joe, about maybe what a game it could be if Matt Stafford is in and he's able to go. And sure enough, he's able to play yesterday somehow through the rib situation that he's dealing with. Matthew Stafford finishes 22 of 32, 252 yards, and one touchdown. But the Titans offense, even with Stafford in there, it just proved to be too much. And then the defense got a couple of really timely turnovers that they forced. Other than that, defense didn't really look that great, but the turnovers, they count, and you've got to give them credit for forcing those turnovers when they do.
Yeah, and you got to give Stafford credit. I mean, you know, again, the guy is – not only is he ridiculously talented, and he made a few throws, you know, yesterday, you're just like, my goodness. But also, the guy's tough. I mean, basically the Lions, now they're officially eliminated. They technically weren't. So, you know, they technically were playing for the playoffs still yesterday, but that would have taken an incredible amount of help around the league for that to be possible. Now they're eliminated. But, you know, I tell you what, I made it the lock of all locks when Chase Daniel was going to be the quarterback, and as you said, what if Stafford plays, and he did, and the Titans still handled it, which you have to give them credit. And mostly it's just because, again, this offense is dominant. Now, this is on the list of worst defenses the Titans will face this year.
It's up there.
It's up there. I mean, is it number one? It might be number
one. It may be number one. I mean, that Houston defense is pretty bad, but the Lions defense may be number one.
Yeah, there's some other bad ones for sure. But I mean, just like no pass, they really have no good players on D. They have a couple guys who are still, you know, making some plays on D. So you got to keep that in mind too. But still, I mean, I think the Titans, again, just also from the perspective of you're supposed to handle this team, you're facing some pressure, you handle the team you should handle two straight weeks. And now you get back to, okay, this could be tougher. I agree with Corey on the Titans offense against the Texas defense. I mean, they should go up and down the field, but I'm sorry. I mean, Deshaun Watson should scare anyone. Deshaun Watson almost beat the Colts yesterday, and that really good defense. I don't see how you look at that game and just brush it aside.
I don't know if I'd brush it aside. I do buy into the fact that it'll be week 17 and Houston's probably going to be looking to just get out the door at that point. I don't know what that means in the final score. And I'm not saying that the Titans are just going to blow them off the field, but the motivation level will be much higher for the Titans in that game. At least I would suspect.
Yeah, I guess, but you know what? I mean, it's Deshaun Watson on his own. He's going to come to play that day, you know, and that one guy, I mean, you know, why are the Texans trying now? Why did they try yesterday? It's the same deal. They're done, you know? I mean, they're playing out the string. They played pretty hard yesterday. I just, like, all of a sudden they're just going to turn the faucet off and just throw their helmets on the field in week 17. They got a chance, potentially, in that game to destroy the Titans season. I mean, I don't think it's going to be any less effort than they've been giving week after week. Now, we saw last week the Bears just trounced them. So, it's not like they've been consistently competitive either, but I would just say if there's a chance for them to be competitive in a game, the chance to ruin a division rival's season would be a little bit of a motivator.
Maybe. Like, I wonder if they'll play Deshaun Watson in that game. I mean, what's the upside to playing Deshaun Watson in a week 17 game that doesn't mean anything? You gonna get him hurt? I don't know.
I'm sure there's an example here or there, but I don't know of any team that just sat out its starter other than because they were in the playoffs. I mean, it's a last chance for that guy to play, last chance for fans to see him, last chance for him to hit whatever personal milestones might be out there. I mean, I'd be shocked if he didn't play in that game.
So looking at the offense, and we talked about Tannehill's day yesterday, if there's one complaint that I've got with that guy, he has an absolute refusal to slide. Like, it doesn't matter what it is, what situation it is. And even the touchdown, the first touchdown scamper he had yesterday, I mean, I hear what you're saying. I'm okay with him diving for the end zone there. Yeah, you get a little nervous if you're a Titans fan. And Vrabel, like, it was funny to see on the CBS broadcast, they show Tannehill going to the sideline, and Vrabel's just giving him this look, and all of a sudden Tannehill just starts laughing, and Derrick Henry just, like, grabs him from behind and is laughing. And you know that Mike Vrabel, like, just saw the season flashing before his eyes while Tannehill's in the air. But there is even one play, like, where Tannehill's in trouble in the pocket, and he escapes, and he runs for, like, 3 yards. And instead of just getting down, he lowers his shoulder and tries to run through two guys from the Lions. And I'm like, dude, just go down. You were like, I know that there's a lot of important players that the Titans can't afford to lose, and Derrick Henry's certainly one of them. Ryan Tannehill is the one they absolutely cannot afford to lose. And he will not slide. Sliding is not in his vocabulary.
Right. And people, you know, and people are laughing about it. And of course, teammates love it. Fans love it. But really, like, really, stop doing it. And I, like, Vrabel brought it up after the game because it is. It's like, you've got to think about, like, what is the risk reward here? You know, he gets a bootleg going left and it's wide open. But honestly, if he just takes out of bounds at the two, then Derrick Henry gets a touchdown instead of him. You know, I mean, it's just – it's a gimme early in a game. It's not a play that you lay out to make. But, I mean, I understand that's his mindset. And, again, that's the guys love it, but you've got to really think long-term a little bit. Quote from Tannehill. Here's a quote after the game. Quote, he didn't say anything verbally. He's talking about Vrabel, but his face told me exactly what he was thinking. I got to the sideline. There wasn't a congratulations or a good job. It was a scowl. I knew that was coming. As soon as I reached the ball, I knew that was coming, end quote. So, I mean, he knew, And, man, I don't blame Vrabel, like, for being legitimately like, hey, man, really? Like, our whole season here is you being healthy. And but honestly, I can't think of too many times. I'm sure he's slid a few times, right? I mean, he has a few times,
yeah.
But not much. Not nearly as much as he should. He should be doing it at 100% rate at this point.
He landed very hard, too. Like, I didn't think he was hurt or anything, but he landed. They showed the replay. Like the reverberation of his body off the ground, diving into the end zone. I was like, oh boy. I just thought if I did that, I would just be screwed.
Yeah. And this is a guy who has had an ACL. This is a guy who his last year in Miami, a shoulder basically ruined his season. So, I mean, he's had, you know, significant injuries. He's not young. He's not old for the quarterbacks in this league, but yeah, it's fun to watch, but it's also, you know, next time, you know, you're like, hey man, just think of everyone else, you know, take a couple yards off the bottom line and this offense will probably still be just fine.
When we come back, we'll ask the question, have the Titans alleviated their concerns on the offensive line even without Taylor Lewan in the fold? We'll discuss that on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Elijah Campbell here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee, reacting to a big 46-25 win for the Titans against the Detroit Lions. The Titans improve to 10-4 on the season. They break the curse of 9-7, and they remain in first place in the AFC South. And Joe, it's interesting. We've talked a lot today, obviously, about the offense and the impressive numbers that they put up yesterday, but you look at the schedule and the way things have broken down for the offense in the last 5 weeks, and they seem to be on a bit of a run here. And we, you know, after Taylor Lewan goes down in the Houston game, you had the Pittsburgh game, they struggle in Cincinnati. It's kind of a slugfest against Chicago, and then the disaster on Thursday night against Indy. And you were wondering, all right, you know, is Taylor Lewan, is that loss to this offense just going to totally derail this season and make them as, you know, as productive as they were earlier on in the season, just totally take that away from them? And the last 5 weeks, the Titans look pretty good offensively. 30-plus points in 5 consecutive weeks, albeit the competition in some cases a little bit different, a little bit easier than obviously going up against the Bears defense or the Colts defense or certainly the Pittsburgh defense at that time. But the offense seems to be rolling right now. And, Joe, it doesn't look like not having Taylor Lewan on the offensive line is a glaring issue anymore in a way that it did earlier this year.
Yeah, I mean, I'd still, you know.
I mean, you still have to have him, obviously, but.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you look at this offense and, yeah, you still, like, you think about, what if they did have him? How stupid would this be, you know? But, no, they've done a good job, and it doesn't feel like they are – way overcompensating. I thought, you know, early on without him, there were times when I think they had to adjust to it, and it was obviously making it tougher on them. But then, of course, they were also, you know, at times not protecting well, and depended on who they played to. They played some teams with really good pass rushers. That's another part of it. You know, I mean, look, the last 2 weeks, for example, they've played bad defenses with not much threat on the edge. You got to keep that in mind too, but still overall, yeah, I mean, I feel like they've definitely adjusted, figured it out. They have confidence. Questenberry, and we've talked about the safety, and he tried for the cut block, and it definitely did not work. I mean, that was a direct line to Tannehill. As soon as he turned, he was on the ground. So you got moments that don't work out, and it's not going to be as good as Taylor Lewan. But for the most part, they have figured it out. They're in good shape. I mean, that's an interesting stat. It's kind of a weird stat. You know, 30-plus points, but also 420-plus yards.
Yeah.
The Titans are the fifth team in NFL history to do that 5 straight weeks. So, you know, sometimes these milestone stats are a little strange. But still, those numbers are eye-popping, 30 and 420-plus 5 straight weeks. And they don't – you know, look, I mean, when they played the Steelers – the Steelers with both Watt and Dupree. I mean, that's the type of game where, like, you really have to do things to keep your quarterback upright. There aren't many opponents like that. on the schedule, but also even moving into the postseason. You know, they should be fine.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Coy in Clarksville texts in and says, what are the odds that Derrick Henry gets 2,000 yards and both Corey Davis and A.J. Brown get 1,000 yards receiving? Now, Corey Davis, a big day yesterday against the Lions, had the 75-yard touchdown, four catches, 110 yards. That brings Corey Davis up to 945 yards on the season and five touchdowns. So just 55 yards away from Corey Davis that he'll need in the last two games to get to 1,000 yards. I think you feel pretty good if you're the Titans that he's going to get to that point. And then A.J. Brown, although not really a great day yesterday statistically, you look at his season, 56 catches, 881 yards, and 10 touchdowns on the season. So about 119 yards left for A.J. Brown, just 55 yards left for Corey Davis. Joe, I mean, I feel pretty good about both of them getting there and getting to the 1,000-yard receiving mark. I think Henry's path to 2,000 is a little bit tougher. I'm not saying he can't do it. I mean, you look at him right now, another big day yesterday for Derrick Henry, 147 yards on the ground. I think the tough part, if you're wanting to get to 2,000, where there were more yards to be had on the ground yesterday and the Titans were just up in the game and Darrington Evans got in to run. But Henry right now with 1,679 yards, you're going to need 321 yards to get it done to get to 2,000. Not undoable for Derrick Henry against the Packers defense and the Texans defense, but I would say that of the three, Henry's path is the most challenging.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Davis, hard to imagine. He wouldn't get 55 more yards in these next two games. They're going to be huge games. Defenses that the Titans can move the ball on, and I think A.J. Brown has a good shot at getting 119 more yards. Derrick Henry, can he get 321 more yards? Sure. Sure he can. I mean, so much of it depends on how these games go, too. Obviously, you know, if you're the Titans, you're playing from ahead or even, and you can use everything in the toolbox, you're going to give him the ball a lot. And I think they have tried to I think that they're, even though Vrabel kind of downplays the idea of like a pitch count, I mean, I think there's probably a little bit of that to what they've done in the last few weeks. I think you're talking about trying to get in the playoffs, these huge games ahead. I don't think there's going to be a lot of hesitation to give him 30 carries if that's what the situation dictates in, you know, in the next two games. So, yeah, I mean, look, Derrick Henry can go for two bills on either of these defenses and make it easy. It's certainly hard to assume or count on 321 yards in two games, but I bet you he at least gets close.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in Adam, who wants to weigh in on the Titans. Adam, thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rex Road.
Hey, thanks, man. Hey, you know, I've been a fan since they got here, like a diehard since they got here, and I have never seen an offense so cohesive. And I'm not going to say, you know, the Lions game was like, you know, the culmination of all of that, or I was super impressed because you carved up the Lions. But just there's so many options to go to with this offense. That's what I love about it. Like, it's not just Derrick Henry, man. My favorite player, Corey Davis. See, I love seeing him have big days. He's such a good story. If there was ever anybody we needed to pay, it would be that guy. A.J. Brown, man, I would expect if there was anybody that was going to be vocal about not getting a bunch of passes, it would be him. And he's not. Jonnu's been super quiet the last 4 or 5 weeks, but we know what he's capable of. He's not vocal. That's what I love. It's a very unselfish offense, and that's why I think it's going to be really good. Still concerned about the defense going into the playoffs. I think everybody is. Adoree looked faster yesterday, but I just love how unselfish this football team is.
Hey, thanks for the call, Adam. Appreciate it. I mean, Joe, I think that's a great point. I mean, you can tell with the way this offense is designed and the way that Arthur Smith is dialing things up. And if you're A.J. Brown, you're a guy that I think from a talent standpoint has enough talent to be targeted 10 to 12 times every game. And we've seen it sometimes. I mean, that just doesn't happen. Yesterday, 6 targets for A.J. Brown, 5 catches for 44 yards. But you never really hear anything about A.J. Brown or Corey Davis or Jonnu Smith, any of these guys complaining about their usage or their role in the offense. And I think Adam nailed it there. The word options comes up when you think about this Titans offense. They got a lot of options on where to go with the football, and that's, to me, what makes them so dangerous.
Yeah, no, it's a great point. And, you know, it's interesting, too. Yeah, Jonnu, I mean, we haven't talked about him, but he got targeted 5 times, you know, 5 catches, 52 yards. So it was a nice, it was a nice day for him to kind of get back into the passing game. He made some big time catches with some big time throws in tight windows. He was covered. You know, you think about Firkser again, huge. It was still a close game. Third and long, Firkser comes up with a big catch. And by the way, Adam Humphries is going to be coming back in theory, I believe, for the finale.
Yep.
Right now. He's lined up to come back for that. I mean, because right now, you know, basically yesterday it was, you know, five targets for Janu, six for AJ, six for Davis. You get a couple for Evans. Henry gets a couple short catches. I mentioned the first one. Michael Pruitt got targeted twice. McNichols once. Batson once. Basically, they threw to two receivers, and everything else they threw to was tight ends or backs. Wouldn't be bad to have another receiver out there as well, and a guy, as we know, with Humphries, if he's right, and he's healthy, and that's certainly something to watch, but he's a guy who can get you a chain mover at any time. So I think that's a great point by them, though. It is an unselfish offense. It's a good locker room. It's a group of guys. There's no one – I'm complaining about, you know, their numbers are not getting the football. And that's not easy to pull off on a team with so many different options.
Has Khalif Raymond just completely lost his role on this team in this Titans offense? It just doesn't seem like he's a part of the plans right now for Arthur Smith and company.
Well, he was put on the COVID list.
Right. So but I'm just saying, you think back to the last 8 to 9 games. It just doesn't seem like he's a part of the plans offensively. Just based on what they've done. He's got like 3 targets in the last 9 weeks.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I still think that having him around would not be bad as the vertical possibility. Now, of course, we saw Corey Davis go 75 for a TD. We know A.J. Brown can do it. So they're finding a way to get those guys free for some of those vertical routes too. But I would not, you know, I don't think it'd be a bad thing to have Raymond available and get him 10 snaps a game and try to sneak one to him downfield. But, yeah, I mean, for the most part, I mean, Batson's ahead of him. And even Batson yesterday gets 1 target and no catches.
Yeah, and then Darrington Evans, we talked about him a little bit, but it was nice to see, I think, what he can do when completely healthy. I mean, he looked good out there running the ball, you know, got some time, obviously, at the end of the game when it was out of control. 8 carries for 30 yards, 3.8 yards per carry in the receiving game, catches his first touchdown. You know, he's not going to have a huge role in this Titans offense with Derrick Henry at running back, but a nice little change of pace from Darrington Evans in there yesterday. He looked dangerous with the ball in his hand.
Yeah, and I liked how he ran the ball with some power, which Vrabel mentioned too. Just a guy you can give the ball to. I mean, look, Jeremy Nichols has been a clutch pickup with Evans hurt, and he has done a fine job. There's a difference. As Corey Curtis mentioned earlier, there's a difference between Evans and McNichols, and it's just he has some serious juice. That's the word Tannehill used yesterday. So here and there, you know, get a big play, leak him out of the backfield, and run a little choice route. You know, do some things with again, it's that quickness, getting to the high gear fast. He could be a factor. He could, maybe not a big one, but a couple plays a game. Now you just give the defense one more thing to deal with.
Which Derrick Henry stiff arm was more disrespectful, the one earlier this season against Josh Norman or the one yesterday against Alex Myers? That's our poll question of the day at 1025 The Game on Twitter. We'll discuss that on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Elijah Campbell here with you on this Monday morning, talking the big Titans win against the Lions yesterday. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in Doug, who wants to weigh in on the Titans. Doug, thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rex Road. Go ahead.
Thanks, guys, for a good show. I'm hearing a lot of talk about two offensive wide receivers getting 1,000 yards, running back, setting a record, but there's an elephant in the room. You can't play in the Super Bowl with this kind of a defense. They only depend on punch out and turnovers, and they don't stop anybody on third down. You can't go to a Super Bowl with this kind of a defense. Sorry.
Hey, thanks for the call, Doug. I mean, look, you very well could be right about that. I mean, Joe, you look at this defense, and I get it. Yesterday, I mean, you forced the 2 turnovers. You feel great about that. It was a great play by Will Compton on the goal line to get that ball to Daquan Jones as well to force that turnover. But, I mean, Detroit still looked like a lot of the time yesterday that they were moving the ball really effectively. Matthew Stafford, and how he was able to play in that game yesterday is beyond me, but he looked great at quarterback, and the defense is still a massive concern. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Yeah, by the way, I don't mean to, like, help Titans opponents out, but, like, there's only one thing they do well on defense. Don't run right at them at the goal line. If you don't run right at them at the goal line, you will have success.
Rashawn Evans, he turns into, like, the greatest player in the NFL on the goal line. I've never seen anything like it. Like, you're always looking for more out of Rashawn Evans, and then you get to the goal line, and he is unstoppable in goal line defense.
Well, he's an absolute monster athlete, and he's a throwback linebacker. I mean, Rashawn Evans, I think we've talked about Tannehill, McNair era. You put Rashawn Evans back in that era, an inside linebacker in this league, we probably talk about him a lot more, you know. But, yeah, I mean, and also that play yesterday, that was definitely – I mean, Daquan blew it up. Compton got in there, but Daquan has been a guy, of course, in those situations who's been great, Simmons as well. You know, here's the thing. I agree with anyone who says, how could you trust this team and this defense? I mean, yesterday they had a late run so that the Lions only converted 7 of 11 third downs. I think it was 7 of 8 or 7 of 9 at one point. They are going to set the record. They are at 52.6% allowed third downs. That will blow away the NFL record. I will also point out that there are two other teams that are going to beat the record too. The Raiders and Panthers are both 50%. Panthers are right at 50, Raiders 50.6. I mean, you have to still put it in the context of the league. There's not a lot of great defense being played. The offense is winning right now in the NFL. The defense is losing right now in the NFL.
It is, so, but I mean, the Raiders probably not going to the playoffs. The Panthers definitely not going to the playoffs. I mean, I think to the larger point of whether or not you can win a Super Bowl with a defense being this bad, like the offense, I mean, we've talked about this a lot. It doesn't have any margin for error. But I think that's a legitimate question that Doug brings up of, all right, is this defense so bad that it doesn't really matter what the offense does? You just don't have a fighting chance if it's going to be that bad.
Right. Well, I mean, and so I'm going to say you have a chance because you can outscore most teams. Can you outscore Kansas City? Yeah. I mean, I have my doubts. You know, now can if you get to that game, that'd be something right there. Can you get to that game? I think you can. But, yeah, I mean, look, the pass rush is not happening. Like, the pass rush is happening because the Titans scheme up pressure. Harold Landry's doing his best out there. I saw Roberson a couple times apply some pressure yesterday. They either blitz or they don't affect the quarterback. Now, with Adoree Jackson, as he gets more into the defense and plays more snaps, I assume he'll start soon. He came off the bench yesterday. He was in dime. I assume he'll start soon. Does that give you a chance to be more aggressive? Does that open up the doors to say, hey, we can run with people. We're good on both sides on the outside. Desmond King, you know, we can unleash more stuff. That's the only hope of progress is that you can get more aggressive, creative with your blitzes and try to do things that way and hope that you can hold coverage just a little bit longer with the Dory back in. But, yeah, this defense against good offense is going to give up a lot of yards and points. This offense still may be good enough to outscore most of those teams.
And speaking of Adoree, we haven't talked about it a ton here on the show today, but, I mean, all season long, Joe, like Adoree Jackson felt like this fictional character that was always kind of out of sight, not necessarily out of mind, but he gets back in there against Detroit. What did you see from Adoree in this game yesterday, albeit on a limited basis?
I thought he looked good. You know, he made a real nice open field tackle of Danny Amendola on a play. He was going with him quite a bit in the slot. I thought he looked fast. You know, again, he made some plays. I think he had two tackles, but I thought for a first outing after being out for so long, I thought it was encouraging. And again, like the last time Malcolm Butler and Adoree Jackson were together was last year at Carolina. This is the week before the Titans beat the Chiefs and kind of really went on that run toward the postseason. And at that point, it looked like they were done. They weren't going to make the playoffs. Now Butler's out for the rest of the year. I mean, it's been a long time since they've had these two guys who obviously they invested free agency money in Butler. They invested a high draft pick in Adoree, that they've been together. And so I think it's encouraging that you're right. I mean, the last few weeks, it's been a lot of, oh, he's never going to play. You know, this is all, I mean, it's like, well, I mean, they kept a roster spot for a reason, right? Obviously they aren't sacrificing a roster spot to mess with everyone all year. So it's good to see him out there. I think it's good for this team. How much of a difference does it make? I don't know, but it has to make some kind of a difference.
Let's get to our poll question of the day at 1025 The Game on Twitter. Which Derrick Henry stiff arm was more disrespectful? Was it the one earlier in the season with Josh Norman and the Bills, or was it the one yesterday with Alex Myers where he just basically slapped him to the ground? Right now, 69% going with Josh Norman, 31% say it was yesterday's stiff arm by Derrick Henry to Alex Myers. I'm a little surprised by that, Joe. I thought it would be closer than that.
Yeah, come on. Where's the recency bias that count on with these polls, you know? The Myers one, I don't know if Derrick Henry will rough up a player like that. I don't think he has.
It was painful to watch
yesterday. The Josh Norman one was like, that was like ballet, you know? That was a beautiful combination of factors that created, you know, Josh Norman – totally horizontal in the air so that we could have memes where he's like on one of the Buffalo Bills folding tables that they like to smash to build, you know, that was a beautiful poster with a well-known and very disliked player. But this was nasty. You know, this was you talk about angry runs. I mean, they shouldn't bother showing anything else this week.
No, this was the clear winner. Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Coy in Clarksville texts in and says, Kirk Herbstreit said it right during the Cotton Bowl game versus Michigan State years ago. The stiff arm is becoming legendary. The time is nigh. That stiff arm is legendary. Many men have tried to kill the beast, but the beast still remains. Many rise, many have fallen, and many will fall. Derrick Henry, king of the stiff arm. That's poetry by Coy there. We appreciate that.
Wow. Wow. That was very, yeah, that was majestic.
Yeah.
And I tell you what. You know, looking at, as I research the league, you know, the best stiff arms ever, and, you know, certainly some guys. I mean, Marshawn Lynch was a good one that you brought up earlier. He definitely had some nasty stiff arms, but I can't recall anyone having his stiff arm talked about more than Derrick Henry's is. I can't remember anyone whose stiff arm has been a highlight more than Derrick Henry's stiff arms have been. So
no. Like, he may be the best of all time already in the stiff arm department.
I mean, it's possible.
He is the stiff arm goat in the NFL.
Like, I don't know that, like, you know, like Norm Van Brocklin didn't have an amazing stiff arm decades ago. I mean, we may need to do more
look
research
at some film.
On this.
I charge that with you the rest of the week, Joe. You can look up some film of 1940s NFL and let me know if you see any good stiff arms there. Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. C from Franklin texts in, says, the difference is one guy is Josh Norman and the other guy is a practice squad player. That is true. We did not know who Alex Myers was before the game yesterday.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, this is very true. I mean, when you do something at the expense of another star or well-known player, especially a disliked player, it makes it sweeter. But, you know, maybe the greatest dunk in the history of basketball was Vince Carter.
Yeah.
Literally putting himself on the head of that dude whose name eludes me in the Olympics.
Eludes everyone else.
Friedrich Weiss.
There you go. Doesn't elude Elijah.
I knew Elijah would come through. You know, who know? I mean, who is that? I don't know. But the dunk itself was that special. But yeah, it's true. I mean, when you can do something like this against a player who's well known, it does make it a little bit more memorable.
Coming up next, we'll talk all things NFL with ESPN NFL analyst Mike Tannenbaum. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by Romulan.com. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.